Writer Dan Wakefield moved to New York City the year Dwight Eisenhower was elected president. He left the year John Kennedy was assassinated. A list of his cohorts during that time reads like a who's who of the best, the brightest, and the hippest. His new memoir about that time is called New York in the 50s. John Leonard has this review.
Whatever we've done, says Dan Wakefield of himself and his friends, was shaped by the fortunate fact that we started out in the most exciting city of its era, a Mecca that, like Paris in the 1920s, exists now only in memory. Its naming now seems legendary, New York in the 50s. Wakefield, wanting to be a writer, left boring Indiana for tumultuous New York by train in 1952. And everybody he met in the big city was either already famous or so eager they'd eventually become so. In the classroom at Columbia, he got Mark Van Dorn and Lionel Trilling for English literature and composition, and C. Wright Mills for politics. At the West End Bar, he got Allen Ginsberg and Jack Kerouac, drummers with a different beat. In Greenwich Village, he got Norman Mailer, James Baldwin, Michael Harrington, and Murray Kempton. At the White Horse, novelists and journalists. At the Cedar Tavern, abstract expressionists. On the Bowery, he got Dorothy Day and the Catholic Worker intellectuals. At magazines like The Nation and Commonweal, he got the space to write his meticulous and humane sort of journalism, including a brilliant report from Mississippi on the murder of Emmett Till. At Esquire, he got some serious money. In Spanish Harlem, he got material for his first book, Island in the City. Young Wakefield would befriend an equally young Norman Pod Horitz, Joan Didion, William Styron, Lorraine Hansberry, and William F. Buckley, Jr. He would write books about the anti-war movement and a television soap opera and five novels. He would move to Boston. But he never forgot being young in New York. And he returns in this memoir to celebrate not only his friends and the community they made and the city that sustained them, but to relive as well, with enormous affection, such 50s obsessions as jazz, which he has always preferred to rock and roll, and psychoanalysis, which seems to have done him more harm than good, and J.D. Salinger, whose Franny and Zooey get more attention than they deserve, not to mention such wonders of the age as yogurt and the diaphragm. It's hard to imagine a remembrance more congenial, so graceful, so immune to grudge, so seasoned throughout with the equally vivid recollections of his friends, who seem as mystified as Wakefield is that such a New York no longer exists, that we have restaurants and bunkers and battle stations instead of communities, that we have television sets instead of camaraderie. Part of the problem, I suspect, is that everybody's a lot older, into jobs and marriages that keep them out of the bohemian bars and the little magazines that pay even less. And part of the problem may be that young people can't afford to live anymore in Manhattan, where they might have found their own communities of energy and talent. And part of the problem may be that few of us have Wakefield's remarkable gift for friendship. But most of the problem probably is that the age we live in has coarsened everybody, and the feelings that arise from its brutal events are either prepackaged and disposable or numb and misshapen. Would Wakefield himself return, like his friend Joan Didion? I don't think I'd have the guts and courage and money, he says. But, well, maybe I could go back for just a little while. Alas, Dan, the city really needs you, a friend, and some decency.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed Dan Wakefield's new memoir, New York in the 50s.